That's the only option we have is run into him.
Amen.
You could take the long way around, but you'll end up with him if you want to get help. Deuteronomy chapter number 7, if you would. I'm going to continue our series this morning on the attributes of God. And the subject I have this morning is just inexhaustible, the study of it. The truth of this attribute is found in Genesis chapter 1 all the way through the last amen of Revelation. And so it's a very large subject. Deuteronomy chapter 7, and I'm going to read a few verses here and then give you the attribute this morning that we're going to look at for just a minute. Deuteronomy chapter number 7. Thankful, seems like everybody made it through the week okay. Just cold and ice, so I think everybody made it through safely, so we thank the Lord for it. Appreciate the prayers for Brother Bowen and I out in Texas. Enjoyed our trip out there. We got to go with Brother Buster and spend time with him, and we're very thankful for that. And there's some folks out there I haven't seen in a long, long time, and they did not remember me. As I said, I married one of the Glory Land girls. I said, oh, now we remember. And so it was good to be out there. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse number 1. If you find your place, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I had the young men do devotions this morning in Sunday school, trying to teach them how to study their Bible and get up and do a Bible lesson. And Cooper was the first one. He told them to find their place in Exodus 20 and say amen when they found it. I said, praise the Lord, Cooper. That's good. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse number 1. The Bible said, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. At this point in the scripture, God is giving Moses direction for the children of Israel right after they came out of Egypt, which we are reading about right now in our daily Bible reading. We're reading right in that area there in the book of Exodus. And so this is kind of talking about the background communication that God had with Moses about how he was going to take him out of that land of Egypt, and he was going to take him to the promised land, and that he was going to take care of whatever nation stood in their way on their way to the promised land. Verse number 2, when the Lord thy God shall deliver them from before thee. That is a promise that he made there to them. He said when God does it, not if he does it. He just said when he does. God was going to take care of them. Deliver them before thee. Thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughters thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shall thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. And there's a lot of preaching there. There's not time for it. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God had chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because ye were more in number than any people. For ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. And I'm not going to go over this chapter and what's happening here for the sake of time. We're actually reading about this in the book of Exodus. This is kind of the background of what's taking place there in the book of Exodus. But the attribute that I want to look at for just a moment, and we see it illustrated in the nation of Israel when they came out of Egypt, is the faithfulness of God. God is faithful, and He is faithful at all times. He is faithful all the time. Now, unfaithfulness, it marks our generation. It marks mankind. It is one of the most outstanding sins of our evil days, is unfaithfulness. Preachers have preached about faithfulness for years and years and years. I hear preachers preach on cassette tapes, and these preachers have gone on to be with the Lord, and back in their day, they preached about faithfulness because it's always been a problem. We read about the nation of Israel. We are about to read in the book of Exodus how they come out of Egypt. And as soon as they get out of Egypt, they begin to backslide. They begin to get unfaithful to God. Mankind has not changed that much from the time the children of Israel came out of Egypt to today. We deal with unfaithfulness. And that is a problem that we have today, and they had it in the Bible. I mentioned this a week or so ago in the business world. It used to be that a man's handshake was his word, his bond, and that was good enough, but that is no longer the case. Now, when you go to buy anything, you have stacks of contracts. I've had to sign some of those before, and I said, man, all I'm getting is a cell phone. And why do you got to sign all this stuff? But I'm telling you that the things have changed in the social world, in just the everyday lives of even Christian people. Used to be that when they stood at the altar and said, I do, till death do us part. But now that doesn't even mean anything. Why? Because our word doesn't mean anything. Faithfulness doesn't mean anything. Infidelity in marriage and spouses not being faithful to one another and family not being faithful to one another. This is the evil days that we live in. We're surrounded by unfaithfulness. Preachers that once stood in the pulpit and preached the perfect and inerrant word of God now get up and they question it, and they question all the things that they believed about it and cause other people to doubt the word of God. They were unfaithful to God's word and to Himself. There's preachers today that once stood in pulpits and preached, and now God put a call on their life, but today they don't do anything with what God called them to do. Unfaithfulness, it's all around us. And if we sat here today, we could take the entire service, we could take the entire week to discuss all the ways that we have been unfaithful to God. And I'm telling you, the list goes on and on and on and on of all the ways that we've been unfaithful to God. I'm thankful that you're here this morning, and I appreciate you being in the service. It's nice to have somebody to be able to minister to and preach to, but I'm telling you, this thing of the Christian life goes beyond the doors of this church, and our faithfulness to God goes beyond us coming to church on a Sunday morning. And there are so many ways that we can look at that we've been unfaithful to God. He has trusted us with so much, the gospel of His dear Son. And I'm telling you, it's convicting when you begin to think about how little we do for Him. But I'm thankful this morning, I'm not preaching about that. I'm preaching this morning that He is faithful. Amen. That He is always faithful. He's always been faithful. And He always will be faithful. The Bible says here in verse number 9, He told the children of Israel that they could take it to the bank. They could be assured of. They can know for sure there in verse number 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God. He assured them that they could trust God with anything because God is faithful. This quality, this attribute of God, just like all of His other attributes, if it wasn't for the fact that He was faithful, then He wouldn't be God. All of these attributes is what makes Him God. For God to be unfaithful, He would have to go against His very own character. The Bible said, Paul said this in 2 Timothy 2:13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny what?
Himself.
He is faithful. In order for him not to be faithful, he would have to deny his very being. He is faithful. Faithfulness is one of many of his glorious attributes. The Bible tells us in Psalms that he is surrounded with his own faithfulness. Psalms 89:8 says, O Lord, God of hosts, who is strong like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee. He is surrounded by his own faithfulness. He can't count on us most of the time, but I tell you, he can count on his own faithfulness, and we can count on it as well. Isaiah states this. He's speaking, this is a prophecy of Christ, who's going to come, the incarnate God. He's speaking of Christ. He said in righteousness, in Isaiah 11:5, in righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Was Christ faithful? He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. He remained perfect in a sinful world. We can trust the God that's faithful. King David described the faithfulness of God in Psalms 36:5. He said, Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. His faithfulness reaches far above what we can even comprehend. Everything we have around us and the people we have around us, the people that have failed us, it is hard for us to imagine a being that is perfectly faithful. Even the best person in here that has the greatest intentions has failed somebody. And I'm not even talking about intentionally. There's some that intentionally fail their spouse. They step off into sin or whatever the case might be. But there's some that have the best intentions for their children. They have the best intentions for their spouse. But because they're just mere flesh, they will inadvertently fail. And they will fail to be faithful in certain areas. That's just our nature. But I'm thankful that my God doesn't have my nature. Everything about God is great. It's vast. It's magnificent. And his faithfulness is no exception. He never forgets. He never fails. He never falters. He never forfeits. He's faithful. He's absolutely faithful. Every declaration of promise or prophecy the Lord has given us in His Word, He has adhered to every one of them. Why? Because our God is faithful. The Bible said in Lamentations chapter 3, verse number 22 and 23, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. These men in the Bible that wrote about the faithfulness of God, they did not just offer lip service about God's faithfulness. They actually believed it, and they lived the faithfulness of God. Jeremiah, when he wrote the book of Lamentations, the weeping prophet, when he said, Great is thy faithfulness, he could say it with confidence because he had experienced the faithfulness of God. There's people today, they could stand up and they could sing songs like Great is Thy Faithfulness. And they can stand up and talk about the faithfulness of God. But when they give the testimony of the faithfulness of God, it's not even believable, because they're just saying things that they've heard other people say. But then there's others that stand up and they talk about how good God's been. And they talk about how faithful God's been. And a tear will come to their eye, and you know it's coming from their heart, because they have experienced the faithfulness of God. There's people that go their entire Christian life without ever experiencing God's faithfulness, because they won't allow God to help them. Now listen, God's been faithful to every one of us, whether we lean on it or not. But I'm telling you, there's some that have leaned on the faithfulness of God, because like Jeremiah, that's all they had to lean on. When Jeremiah was sitting in that prison cell for preaching what God told him to preach, he was about to give up and quit, but there was a fire in his bosom, and he acknowledged to God, Lord, you're my everything. And God helped him. So when he said, the Lord's mercies are new every morning, his compassions fail not, great is thy faithfulness, he knew exactly what he was talking about. The Bible is full from Genesis to Revelation on this subject and illustrations of God's faithfulness. All the way back in Genesis, we find examples of it. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, he tells the nation of Israel, while the earth remained in seed time and harvest, and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. Every time the calendar rolls over a new year, it reminds us of God's faithfulness. He set it in order back in Genesis, and he's carried it through over and over and over again. Look with me in Genesis chapter 15 very quickly. Genesis chapter 15, this is the introduction. I'm going to relate back to this here in just a moment when I get to the body of the message. But Genesis chapter 15, verse number 13 and 16, I'm trying to show you that in Scripture, God has made promises, and those promises up to this point have come true. Genesis chapter 15, verse 13. Amen. Cooper, when you're there, say amen. 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 All right. Genesis chapter 15, verse number 13. This is the promise God makes to Abraham. We've already read this in our Bible reading. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Now, did we not just read about that in the book of Exodus? Where they are afflicted and they are a stranger in the land of Egypt. We just read that. But look at the promise God makes them. In verse number 14, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. If you remember when they left out of Egypt, we just read about this, they borrowed things from their neighbors that they never intended to return. But they borrowed all, I mean, they left out with great riches. This was prophesied to Abraham years before Moses was ever even born. And the Bible says here in verse 15, and thou shalt go to thy father in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. In verse 16, but in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. If you read your daily Bible reading today, you read in Exodus chapter 12, verse number 41, and it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. I'm talking about down to the number of years. God told Abraham what would happen, and it absolutely took place. We read about the prophecy of Jesus Christ coming in Isaiah chapter 7. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And again, centuries pass by, and Jesus Christ shows up in the womb. Galatians 4:4 says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman under the law. God is true. God is faithful. His word is true. His promises are true. His promises are faithful. The faithfulness of God. God is faithful. And I can tell you this morning that he can be trusted. Amen. And that we can rely on his faithfulness. No one has ever trusted in God in vain. Right. And what I mean by that is you trusted God for his faithfulness and he failed you. I mentioned this morning, does anybody have a testimony? And we had one. And I said, does anybody got a testimony how God messed you up and failed you? No, nobody can ever give that testimony. Nobody can ever stand and honestly give that testimony. The truth of God's faithfulness is all through scriptures. His faithfulness is the basis of our confidence in him. We can talk about all the attributes of God, and we're talking about him and mentioning him. But I tell you, his faithfulness, that they will stand sure, holds all of it together, does it not? That he will not fail. God has given us, the Bible says, many exceeding great and precious promises. And we are counting on him to fulfill every one of them. Because he is faithful and he is true. The Bible said in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. We can take his promises to the bank. And we can have faith in and believe in it because he is faithful that promised. Let me give you just a couple things about his faithfulness very quickly. First of all, the timing of God's faithfulness. The timing of his faithfulness. There are seasons in our life and there are times in our life when it is not easy to trust in the faithfulness of God. Not even for some of the strongest Christians I've met, that their testimonies will come out that there were times in their life where they wondered for just a moment, even if it was just for a moment, God, where are you? And God, what are you doing? They question for just a moment when they're going through times of trials. They wonder if they can honestly, truly believe in the faithfulness of God. There's times where our faith is tried. There's times where we maybe doubt. And I believe almost every Christian, even the great men of God that I've been reading after when I'm studying these messages and in the Bible, that there was times where they sat there, Jeremiah, that wrote about the faithfulness of God at one time sitting in prison. He wondered for just a moment, God, are you there? Am I really doing what you want me to do? God, I don't know what you're doing. John the Baptist was sitting in prison and he heard of the miracles that Jesus was doing. And just for a moment, that great man of God sat there and wondered, are you really the one that we have been preaching? And he sent his disciples to go out and say, are you he who we've been preaching about? Our faith is tried. There's times where our eyes are soaked with tears and we're wondering, Lord, what are you doing? There's times that in our life we cannot quite figure out what God is doing. We can't follow his steps. We don't fully comprehend. We don't understand. There's distractions that come all around us. The devil is a master distractor. And when you're going through hardship and you're going through trials and you're going through difficult situations, the devil wants to create as much noise as he possibly can to keep you from listening to God and thinking about him. The devil, he hates God. The devil is not an atheist. The devil's not an atheist. He very well knows God, but he wants you to be an atheist. And I'm telling you, Brother Stephen, Sister Lisa, we all know people that stood for God and they stood for right and they knew God was faithful. And I'm telling you, hardship came and the devil sat in their ear and he sat in their ear and they walked away from it all and said, I don't even know if God is real. Why? Because everything they believed about God was put to a test. And they walked away. There's been others that have went through some of the most horrific things a person could possibly go through. And they came out the other end saying, isn't God faithful? Amen. And there's many, many that have went through the same trials. And today they sit at home bitter and angry because they say, if there was a God. Yeah. I'm talking about people that believe this Bible. I'm not talking about somebody that was an atheist to start out with. I'm talking about somebody that once went to church and sat in the pews and heard the preaching of God's word and felt his presence and knew that he was real. And now they sit somewhere and they say, if he was real, this wouldn't have happened. The timing of God's faithfulness. There's times where you don't know what he's doing. And you can't quite figure it out. But I want to tell you, just as perfect as his faithfulness is, his timing is perfect. They sing that song about Lazarus, about Jesus being 4 days late, but right on time. If we're going to trust in the faithfulness of God, we have to trust in his timing. And that is hard to do. It's hard to stand with confidence and say, I trust God. I know that he's faithful. And when you say that, it comes with a promise that you're going to trust in his timing. There's some people that go through things for quite a long time. and they don't understand it. The people around them don't understand it. But the ones that have peace that passeth all understanding through the trial they're going through are the ones that said, I trust him. I don't know what's going on, but I trust him. Why? Because God is faithful. God is faithful. People around us are not faithful. Plans are not faithful. Friends are not faithful. But I tell you, Jesus Christ, God is faithful. There's times we've all sought to be faithful to God. There's all times that I believe we have the desire to, and we fail him sometimes, but I'm thankful that he is absolutely faithful. Isaiah chapter 50 verse 10 says, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Do you ever feel like you're going through something and you don't have any direction? You don't have any light? This verse says, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. It just means you just stay with him when you don't understand and you don't know when it's going to all work out. You don't know how it's going to work out. Just stay with him. Amen. There's many verses in the Bible that tell us these same exact truths that I'm trying to give to you today. When we're tempted to doubt and the devil wants to show up and say, God doesn't really care. God doesn't really care about what you're going through. He doesn't want you to have help. Nobody around you likes you. And he starts telling you all these lies. You need to do like God did to Satan, Jesus Christ, and say, get thee behind me, Satan. Why? Because I trust God. There's things that you cannot reconcile right now in your mind and heart. There's things right now that people are going through, maybe some things that we're facing and dealing with, that I cannot reconcile it in my heart and mind. I have no clue. But all I do know is the God that I serve is faithful. And he has never failed one bit. There's been many of people have given testimonies about trials and hardships, and they make it through the other end. And they look back and say, I can see what God was doing now that I'm over here. But when I was in it, I didn't have a clue. And they thank God they stayed faithful to God, stayed faithful to church, stayed faithful to their Bible. Because God is faithful. In his own good time, he will make it all clear. Right. And you know what? It might be when we're standing up in heaven. Right. When he makes it all clear. But one day he will. There's been people that have been through some of the hardest things that a person in this life can go through. And they died in that condition. And I'm telling you, there's been books written about some of these people that have been helping people for ages. And that person, when they went to heaven, I guess they found out about it. But they never knew why they were going through what they went through. But God used it for his glory. John chapter 13 verse 7, Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Amen. Jesus told him, you don't know what I'm doing, do you? They said, we don't have a clue, Lord. He goes, you will one day. You just trust him. Isaiah 30:18, and therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Don't get ahead of God. He is faithful. I came across a poem when I was studying for this. It said, judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are rich with mercy and shall break in blessings o'er your head. We don't understand what God is doing, but wait on him. Trust him. He knows. Psalms 119:138 says, thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. We can trust God. God not only tells us in his word the best things, but he also tells us the worst. He tells us, he warns us that this life is wicked, about sin and all those things. He faithfully describes all these things to us. The timing of God's faithfulness. You can't really define it, but it's perfect. The reason you can't define it is because you can't explain God's timing. But He knows what's best. The timing of God's faithfulness. Not only that, but the testing of God's faithfulness. The testing of it. And here's where I'm going to refer back to where we started in Deuteronomy for just a moment. The testing of God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness is tested in the cherishing of His people. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. These apostles, they knew that they could trust in God because His faithfulness has been tested. It's been tested and tried. He brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and took care of them. And we can read about these things. It has been tried and true. It's been tested. I thank God for the men and women, even in our church, that have given many testimonies about how God has helped them. Why? Because it's another testimony to God's faithfulness is true. It's been tested. God's faithfulness is tested in the fact that He cherishes His people. It's not only faithful in the cherishing of His people, but God's faithfulness is tested in the chastisement of His people. Have you ever been chastened by the Lord? That's just proving His faithfulness. It's proving that He loves you. It's proving that He cares for you when He chastens us. Psalms 119:75, David said, I know, O Lord, that Thy judgments are right, and that Thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. Anybody ever said that to the Lord? Lord, I'm so thankful that You've been faithful to whoop me. I never said that growing up to my mom and dad, but I know I said to my dad since then as an adult, thank You for the way that You raised me. And we can do that to God. Lord, thank You for chastening us. God's faithfulness is tested in His cherishing of His people and the chastisement of His people. But He's also faithful in the course that He sets for His people. In 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. God's plan is what's best for you. Brother Stephen says this all the time when he's preaching, that you don't go to the church of your choice. You go where God wants you to be. And that's with anything in our life. You don't have the job you want to have. You don't have the family you want to have. You do what God wants you to do, because His plan, His course for you is absolutely the best. Paul said this, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Paul said, I know that. I know what God's given me to do, that He's going to take care of it all the way to the very end. The timing of God's faithfulness, the testing of God's faithfulness, and last of all, the trying of God's faithfulness. Miss Sarah, you come to the piano as I finish this last point. I'm almost finished. The question this morning as we come to a close is, do you have faith in God's faithfulness? Have you tried it? The trying, the timing of His faithfulness, we don't understand it, but we trust that His timing is the best. The testing of His faithfulness, we know that it's been tested, tried and true, time and time again. Many of you in here could stand up and give me an illustration in your life of God's faithfulness. You know it's been true. But sometimes we question, is it going to be true this time? It was true last time. The children of Israel struggle with the same thing. Not getting on to us for thinking those things. The children of Israel struggle with this. They saw the Red Sea part. They walked on dry land. They were kicking up dust in the bottom of a sea. They watched all this stuff happen. And then there was times not that long after. They're like, God brought us out here to die. He's not going to take care of us. We do the same thing. I've seen people go through great victory in their Christian life, and a year later be absolutely crumbled on their knees wondering, where is God and can He help me? The trying of God's faithfulness. Start to play, Miss Sarah. If we could ever wrap our minds and apprehend this blessing of this attribute of God, there would be no cause for us to worry. There would not be any cause for us to fret or worry about anything that we face or go through if we fully understood that God is faithful and God knows what's going on. There's people that can approach a situation and they're so full of care. There's darkness, there's fear, there's anxiety. And I'm telling you this morning that we have a God that we can trust because He is faithful. This is the same God that cared for the children of Israel and brought them out of Egypt. It's the same God that we can trust today. Job chapter 5 verse 19 says, He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles. Isn't that encouraging? He told them how many troubles he'd go through. He'll deliver you in 6 troubles. Yea, in 7 there shall no evil touch thee. But the truth of this whole thing is you're going to go through troubles and trials and tribulations, and I don't know how many, but God will deliver thee. As we understand the truth of God's faithfulness, it ought to convict us when we complain about anything. I mean, as a child of God, there's really nothing that we have to murmur or complain about. It was one of the sins of the children of Israel that God killed people for. When we're under trials and tribulations, God can be magnified and glorified more so in our life during those times than any other time because of us relying on His faithfulness. The world, our family, everybody around us can say, hey, that person's got something I don't. They can say it's the faithfulness of God. 1 Peter 4:19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Suffering. We're going to suffer, but we have a faithful Creator. Let's all stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. When we give ourselves over to believing that God is faithful and that everything that we face is in His hands and He's a faithful God, and we're fully persuaded that He does love us and He wants the best for us, it is then and only then that we can have peace and satisfaction where we are right now. Because the Bible says, He doeth all things well. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that He does all things well? There's some that have come, every head bowed, every eye closed. If God spoke to your heart during this, would you come talk to Him? Great is thy faithfulness.
Great. faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Amen. I'm thankful for God's faithfulness. Amen. Amen. Brother Stephen, if you would close us in prayer.